Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
In music news, legendary guitarist Steve Vai will release a new album. It's coming up this week, Vai Gash, an album he recorded in 1991 with his friend, the late Johnny Gash Sombrado, featuring Vai on guitar and Johnny on vocals. It's the first attempt since they had come out in 1990 when Vai says he was overcome by the desire to make a straight-ahead rock record after he befriended the man, a Queens native who shared the guitar hero's love of Harleys and 70s classic rock. At one point, Sombrado was involved in a horrific motorcycle crash in 1977, which left him with a partial left ear and layers of skin grafts over his body. Once he recovered sufficiently to get back on his bike, though, the man relocated to Los Angeles, where he eventually met Steve Vai.
Speaking of Steve, and it's actually perfect timing, he's on the hotline. There's an album coming out. This was stuff that they'd recorded, and he's going to put it out. He went back and he found, you know what? What am I talking about it for? Let's get Steve on. He'll explain it all.
Born June 6th in Carle Place, New York, after taking guitar lessons from Joe Satriani, he started his music career transcribing music for and eventually playing with Frank Zappa. He made a name for himself as a guitarist with David Lee Roth and Whitesnake, and launching a solo career that has found him becoming one of the most influential guitarists of his generation. And this Friday we'll finally see the release of the album he recorded in 1991, Vai Gash. Please welcome, guitar legend, Steve Vai.
Mr. Steve Vai, how have you been, brother?
I'm doing fantastic, Mr. Johnny Dare.
You are. I was lucky enough. Hey, I'm a huge fan, and I was lucky enough to hang with you a bit at the Lone Star Bar, man, years ago in the 90s when you were out with Devin Townsend. You were doing one of the first solo records you'd done, and, of course, coming off the David Lee Roth stuff.
You were that guy.
Yeah. Are you kidding? You're one of the sweetest, nicest people I'd ever met. And I'll be very honest about that. You really are a genuinely nice, much more soft-spoken than I think most people would think when you come from, you know, these huge bands like David Lee Roth Band, Bigger Than Life, you and She and Abyss and that, and then, you know, jumping into Whitesnake and everything else, you know, 3 Grammys.
Yeah, I feel like I've lived a charmed life. I really do. I got to play, you know, all the arenas in this country that, you know, that big rock music with Roth and Whitesnake. And you saw the kind of music that I do as a solo artist. So I just am very lucky.
Yeah. Well, you're a real innovator, and there's just so few of those. I mean, look, I don't know how you're wired or why you play the way you do, but it's different than anybody else.
Well, you chase after ideas and they come out however they come out, and I've been lucky that way in that whenever I get a creative idea or to go in a particular direction, it becomes overwhelming, and then I have no choice.
Right.
You know, you just kind of find yourself doing these projects that are just really cool and enjoyable.
I think that there's a certain, for lack of better terms, obsessive compulsive in artists. That you're right.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, right. But, you know, but I think Dave is a weirdo artist like that. I think Roth is, you know, over the years, been lucky enough to have him come in studio, hang out, or follow along with his art and what he does in his personal life. You realize there's a reason he grabbed you and gravitated after the great split and grabbed Billy Sheehan and Bissonette and went, these guys get it. They're weirdos too. Let's go create the greatest rock album ever made.
Well, yeah, well, that's, you know, the brilliance of Dave. He had that idea, and he wanted to put together a band of, you know, young, hungry monsters.
Yeah.
And he found us. Yeah, it was a great, that those years with Dave and Billy and Brett and Greg and, sure, and Matt, they were just incredible, the whole Roth thing.
Dude, I can tell
you. Rock and roll to the bone.
Cinderella opened the show. It was David Lee Roth, uh-huh, Sandstone Amphitheater. I was standing on the front row. Are you kidding me? Watching that like my life depended on it.
Well, I kind of felt the same way on the stage.
Sure. And so, but in this journey, you meet so many people. I thought the story of Vi Gash coming out to 27th, yeah, is really, it's sad, but it's really interesting, and what a way to remember somebody.
Yeah, it's an extraordinary story, and it was kept quiet for decades. And in the story basically goes, my friend John Sombrato, he's an East Coast guy. He was a biker, real kind of hard-edged, Italian New Yorker, but just this unbelievably charismatic, funny, lovable, crazy guy. And when he was 21, he was riding his bike along these power lines, and he got lost. So he climbed one of the towers. And while he was there trying to look to see where he was, the electricity arced and went through his body, came out his feet, and he fell 30 feet onto a barbed wire fence, and he caught fire. And it was like 60% of his body. He miraculously survived and eventually moved out to L.A. where I lived. And, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, we just started riding together because we loved Harleys, and we're part of that whole biker culture. And we had this whole group of people, and we go on these fantastic rides. And it was just, you know, if you're part of that biker culture, you understand that,
sure,
the freedom and the really the thing that gets under your skin. And as we're doing this and having all this these riding thing places, and I was hankering to hear a particular kind of music that I wanted to hear while riding that kind of captured that feeling. So I just stopped everything I was doing, and I took, like in a stream of consciousness, I just blasted out these recordings. I wanted to make a record that was just totally straight ahead, 70s, 80s, rock and roll, anthemic, uplifting. And I did. I just blasted this out just in my own studio. And when I finished it, I didn't have a vocalist. You know, I tried singing myself, but it was an abysmal disaster. Because I don't have a rock and roll voice. But I didn't know that my friend Gash could sing. And he acquired the nickname Gash because, you know, his body was all scarred up and stuff. But I could hear something in his voice when we would just hang out and chat. And he was just such an extroverted, kind of a unpredictable, wild guy. And I got him in the studio. I said, I wonder what happens if I get him to sing on this stuff. And I got to tell you, I just couldn't believe what came out of his mouth.
See, that's crazy. But he was never a singer. Yeah. He was never a singer before that.
No.
That's crazy.
No, he wasn't. I know. And there's such an authenticity.
The balls on, you know, that like guy. The balls on him.
I know, right? The nerve. And yeah. I've worked with all these great lead, rock star singers.
Sure.
And, you know, you can tell when somebody's got that DNA, you know, and Gash just had it head to foot.
I love that.
And we recorded this record. We had all this great music to listen to. And I was planning on going back to it and finishing it, because I only had 8 songs, and one of the songs I had written with Nikki Sixx for Motley Crue. And just tragically, Gash was killed in a motorcycle accident.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, I was so disheartened. And I just took the whole project and threw it on the shelf and just, you know, let it sit there. I couldn't even listen to it for 10 years. And I started listening to it again, and I just always loved it. It was just such a different kind of a project for me, and it is that music that I was looking for this, you know, that freedom feeling of riding on
it's
a bike.
So weird, you know, you bring that up, because nobody I've ever talked to has, I've never had this discussion, but we ride, we do big trips. We've done from Kansas City to Cabo San Lucas and back, and all the way to Fairbanks, Alaska, and Nova Scotia, and I have a theory, like I'll get up, it depends on the road, the temperature, and the time of day. And so a lot of times, right, in the morning, I've got my like more Skinnered, Southern groove, Almonds type thing as I'm waking up at about 8:30 to 9:30, 10:30. Then you get to just afternoon, maybe you had some lunch, your sun is a little bit out, it's getting a little brighter, old Van Halen, some stuff like that. And then by the end of the day, and you got another bit of lighting to do, you have to light it up a little bit and get into something with a little higher beats per minute.
Yeah, a la carte music du jour.
Yeah, but it really is.
Well, do me a favor.
Is it raining?
You got to do me a favor, John.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You got to take this Gash record, take it on the road, and listen to it while you're riding. And it's great because it's eight songs. They all work. There's no filler, and you can repeat it over and over. And it's a great experience.
It's the most fun, man. And, dude, Steve, I really love it. If you're just joining the show, the great Steve Vai, and I'm telling you, whenever anybody's record comes out, especially if it's an artist I love, it gets road tested, and that is part of it. Just out there.
Oh, you're gonna love this one. Oh. And the song "Let's Jam" it was actually written as an ode to DJs, because back in the 70s, when I was a kid, DJs were like kings. You know, they had, to this day, I don't know how it works so much now, but back then, they could choose all the music, and they had I meet a lot of DJs that, you know, are personalities, real personalities, and we love them. So this song "Let's Jam" is actually an ode to DJs.
Well, listen, I love it. Since I was a kid, rock and roll's been a huge part of what I believe in, and how I get through the day. And then, of course, motorcycles got involved in that. And the two, when they're mixed up, it's in your veins. It's everything you are.
So it is, right? And that was the sort of the correlation I was making, because, you know, you got to be a biker enthusiast to understand what it feels. It's like having a dog. You have to be a dog owner to know how much you can love a dog, you know?
And it's funny, because a lot of guys get so opinionated about motorcycles. I'll ride anything. If it's a scooter, a Segway. If it's got two wheels, a Coleman pull start. I bought one of those Harley electric bikes, which could never replace the feeling you get on a giant, huge Heritage Softail or a Glide.
Yeah.
But it's like the girlfriend, she'll do the other stuff that your girlfriend won't do. You know, like it's that if you've not ridden one of those live wires, goddamn, hold on, man. It's pretty amazing. You wouldn't be here every day, but man, for a weekend, it sure is fun.
It'll do things that other one won't.
That's exactly right.
I got to remember that.
But it's you take your dogs out? I bought a motorcycle with a sidecar, a Ural, just so my dog could go with me.
Oh, that's cool. I actually had two bikes with sidecars, and I did have a dog in one of them at one point.
Yep.
They love it.
Oh, yeah. The doggles, their face, everything, that's the best ever.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, what I was just touching on, When you're a rock musician and you're on stage, especially playing the guitar, there's a similar kind of feeling. It's kind of what you were saying about the music that you like to listen to because of the way it makes you feel, and riding a bike, you know, and it's like playing the music. There's a similarity of the feeling of freedom that joy, you know, of playing rock and roll and being on a stage. It's kind of the same bones as the feeling of riding a bike, so to speak.
You know what still gets me? And I was trying to explain this to somebody, and I think you'll get it. I'm a kid. I wanted a motorcycle. Argued with my dad. He finally relented. I had to earn it myself. Months went by. I'm at a paper route, an SL70. I finally get it. And I'm out by myself after a few months after this in the middle of Kansas, and I'm riding further away and further away and further away from my house. And I'm starting to get afraid, but I'm so excited by what might be around the corner, but I'm still even afraid. And every day I would go out and I'd go another field over or another mile past that. But it was that weird joy and fear all at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. That is an electrifying kind of a feeling. I think that's part of the whole attraction.
Right? Yeah.
So it's like the mystery.
Yeah. Oh, man, listen, we go to Sturgis every year. Ballard, who owns a Full Throttle, is a dear friend. We all get together. You ever want to go on a long ride, man? Listen, I'm in. I'm always up for that.
Oh, you guys go to Sturgis, so you do ride.
Oh, yeah, no, we'd go at the Throttle every year since the day it opened. We broadcast live during the rally.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to have to follow you. I haven't been to Sturgis. That was a trip that Gash kept bugging me. You know, come on, we got to go, and I was always on tour or something. But yeah, we did do one great rally, and in the record, there's a whole bunch of photos in the CD, and one of them is Gash and me and another friend with Willie G.
Oh, dude, is he? It's like touching history, isn't it?
I know. I mean, there he was, and yeah. He's in the photo, and it's fantastic.
Dude,
Willie G is the owner
goosebumps.
Of Harley.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude, listen, Willie G, his father started it. Willie G is the reason that yeah. company's even around today. He got it through
absolutely.
The AMF years. He knew to yep. sell it to AMF and then buy it back. And then
buy it back. Yeah.
When they made the new engine, it changed the world in the 90s. It changed Harley. It changed everything. Willie G was the guy.
Everything. Yeah, he's the guy. As a matter of fact, the first bike I got was it had an Evolution engine.
Yeah, that was the one.
And at the time, I was working, you know, on different guitars and working with pickup manufacturers, DiMarzio. And I had all these pickups that he had sent me. And to discern the difference between them, I named them after the different Harley heads.
Nice.
So I had the flathead, the knucklehead, the shovel, the pan,
that's great.
The Evo. And the Evo was the one that turned into my guitar Evo that I've been using since the Gash record.
Hey,
30 years ago.
I got to tell you this before. I know we're everywhere, but before I forget, and I know we're out of time, congratulations on getting Swiss cheese back.
Oh, thanks. 36 and a half years that guitar was stolen.
Yeah.
And it just was returned. It's amazing.
How about the kid
How
found
often
it
does
in
that
his,
happen?
We found it in his attic, and he just said, here, it's for you. This should be yours again.
Yep.
That's
yep, it was a kid that found it in his grandfather's attic in Tijuana, Mexico. And he saw it, and he did a little research, and he was pretty stunned, and he contacted us, and he brought it to me.
I love it.
It was amazing. I gave him a nice chunk of dough as a reward, but it's so nice to get that guitar back. Wow.
Man, well, listen, they're giving me the rap, Steve, but anytime, listen, we can talk motorcycles, we can talk rides, we talk, you know, music, we can talk whatever, man. I just think you're amazing.
Well, we'll talk again. I really appreciate that. Thanks. Thanks, Johnny.
The great Steve Vai, legendary Steve Vai.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.